What do you want for Christmas this year? Because the Magic Mixie cartoons are so huge for little kids, the hottest toy for Christmas last year, 2021, was the Magic Mixie cauldron, where little girls ages 5 and up could mix up their own magic potion and with a magic wand conjure up their own personal Mixie who would help them cast spells and tell their fortune. Okay, so you know what the hottest toy is for this year, this Christmas 2022? The Magic Mixie crystal ball, where little kids can use a magic wand to, quote, really summon a magical creature in a crystal ball filled with magic mist, unquote. God help us, people, they're teaching little kids to be good little witches. And we thought Harry Potter was bad. So those little kids need magic mixies for Christmas like they need another hole in the head. Folks, what everybody really wants and needs for Christmas is Jesus Christ, the gift that God gave us 2,000 years ago already at the first Christmas. So we're going to start a series here this morning at Fox River, a series called All I Need for Christmas, looking at what everybody really wants and needs for Christmas they already have in Jesus Christ and all the blessings that come along with it. And we're going to start this series this morning by looking at the very first thing that we need for Christmas, especially in these last days, and that's love. And to see that, we turn today to 1 John chapter 4 and verses 9 to 12. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 12. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You for Your Word, and I pray You just remind us this morning that real love is found in Your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that we would just be showing that love to the people around us as You've called us to, especially in times like these. Pray You'd come to us now by the power of Your Holy Spirit. I pray You'd open Your Word and teach us from it exactly what it is You want us to know. I ask all this in Your name. Amen. In this part of 1 John chapter 4, John is telling us that God is all about love. And in our text today, he tells us that God gave us that love at Christmas time by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today we desperately need that love at Christmas, especially in times like these, like nobody's business. Our text this morning, 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 12, tells us three things that we need to do to get that love that we want and need at Christmas time. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing that we need to do in order to get that love for Christmas, we need to realize that love comes from God. And that's exactly what John is telling us here in verses 9 and 10. Because the world today doesn't have a clue what love really is. Love is not blue. Love is not blind. Love is not tiny bubbles in your wine. Love is not a many splendored thing. Bob Marley said this, "Falling in love with yourself is the key to all happiness." That's what a lifetime of smoking pot does to your thinking. Whitney Houston sang that song, "Learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all." Wrong. Because the greatest love of all is not you loving you. The greatest love of all is God loving you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, love comes from God. So no God, no love. And sadly enough, that's exactly what we see happening in the world today. Where's the love? Because of the zero COVID policy in China, the Chinese Communist Party is taking people who test positive for COVID and literally welding their doors and windows shut in their apartments and sealing them inside and not letting them out. So 2 weeks ago when there was an apartment fire in Shanghai, 10 people burned up alive inside and the Chi Coms never even tried to save them. Said they should have found another exit out of the building. But see, that's communism. No God at all. No God, no love. America right now is on a killing spree. Last October the 17th, 15-year-old Austin Thompson murdered his brother and four other people at random in Raleigh, North Carolina. Last November the 13th, four college students butchered with a knife at the University of Idaho. And three football players shot and killed University of Virginia in Charlottesville. Last November the 26th, a 16-year-old kid stabbed at the Staten Island Mall in New York City over a stupid AirPod. And I could go on and on and on. People, it's like the nightmare before Christmas. Where's all the peace on earth and goodwill toward men? It's not there. No God, no love. Because us conservatives are trying to take a stand for truth, the left calls us bitter clingers and deplorables and racists and fascists and enemies of the state. So we're not the United States of America anymore. We're just the states of America, because what's supposed to have us united is the God of the Bible, and people told him to take a hike a long time ago. The Wicked World of Disney just came out with a Christmas movie called The Santa Clauses. And there's a scene in that movie where the elves running around with letters are supposed to sell out the message, "We love you, Santa." But instead, they spelled out that message, "We love you, Satan." And see, you're supposed to think that's a joke. But with Disney's track record, that's what the House of Mouse is all about today anyway. No God, no love. And the world today really doesn't have a clue what love is. I've got gay activists telling me all the time, "Kevin, love is love." No, verse 10, this is love. So love is not what LGBTQ says it is. Love is what God says it is in His Word. Well, Kevin, the Bible says that God is love. Yeah, but love is not God. Which means you cannot emphasize just one characteristic of God to the exclusion of all the others. Yeah, God is love, but He's other things too. Like holy and righteous and just. Which means God loving you does not mean that God loves everything you do or thinks it's all good. But see, that is exactly what the LGBTQ activists today claim. And too many Christians are buying into it. And what's the result? This past week, 12 spineless rhino Republicans in the Senate voted along with the left for the so-called Respect of Marriage Act. Gay marriage. But see, gay marriage was legalized by the Supreme Court in the United States 7 years ago already, back in 2015. So what this bill does, it does not legalize gay marriage. What this bill does is forces you now to not only tolerate it, but to participate in it and to celebrate it besides. Yay! The First Amendment very clearly says, Congress shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise of religion. But they did it anyway. And the hell with what your Bible says, and the hell with your religious convictions, and the hell with your religious liberty. So this bill is not about gay marriage, it's about forced compliance. And see, if you say anything about it at all, you're a threat to our democracy. And you hate. See, today, hate is love, love is hate, good is evil is good, right is wrong. It's 1984. And my God, people, this demonic push to sexualize little kids. See the billboards that are out for Christmas this year? Baby Jesus being gay and claiming that he was born that way? Drag queen shows for kids. When did that become a thing for entertainment for children? And has anybody ever wondered why drag queens even want to parade around half naked in front of little kids, if not to recruit them into the lifestyle? Willard Elementary School, River Forest, Illinois, now has an LGBTQ rainbow club for 7-year-olds. We're teaching children how to be gay and trans. And did you catch the ad for Fashion House Balenciaga 2 weeks ago? The little 4-year-old girl with the bondage bear and the table full of S&M toys in front of her? Pedophilia. Do you know what that name Balenciaga literally means? Baal is God. A false god, an idol. The devil is God. People, we've crossed the Rubicon. We've broken the last taboo. Sex with kids. Welcome to Sodom and Gomorrah in the days of Lot. Folks, we got to realize real love comes from God. And it's found in Jesus Christ. And it's available to absolutely anybody. I don't care how bad they are. Even people like him. The last pioneer from the early days of rock and roll was Jerry Lee Lewis, born in a little Faraday, Louisiana, and cousin to Jimmy Swaggart and Mickey Gilley. And growing up, Mickey Gilley's mom taught all three of them how to play the piano like nobody's business. And they were all raised Pentecostal, knowing they needed to get saved and born again and filled with the Spirit and serve the Lord. Well, Jimmy Swaggart became an evangelist, but Mickey Gilley turned to country music. And Jerry Lee Lewis was so hell-bent on rock and roll with songs like Whole Lot of Shaking Going On and Great Balls of Fire, he was a one-man stampede and would even set pianos on fire during his performances. And even though he lived scared to death, he was going to hell for playing the devil's music like his parents called it. He played and he performed and he partied like there was no tomorrow. And you talk about a God-given talent. That guy could hear a song one time and play it by ear. Classical, rock and roll, country, gospel, blues, you name it, he could play it on the piano, a lot of times even during the same song. He was so good, he could play melody with both hands at the same time. Sam Phillips, who founded Sun Records in Memphis, Tennessee, and who recorded all the big stars, said Jerry Lee Lewis was the greatest musician he'd ever seen in his entire life. Music so complicated, it is still being studied by music departments and colleges all over America. But by the time Jerry Lee Lewis showed up at Sun Records in Memphis to start recording, he'd already had a police record, he'd already been kicked out of a Bible college, and he'd already been married two times. 1958, when Elvis Presley was drafted into the military, Jerry Lee Lewis was supposed to be the next big recording star until everybody found out that his third wife, Myra Brown, was actually his cousin. And she was only 13 years old. And he had married her while he was still technically married to his second wife. So just like that, all of his recording contracts and his tours were canceled. Every concert venue in America blackballed him, and Jerry Lee Lewis didn't have a pot to spit in or a window to throw it out of. But then in the 1960s, he reinvented himself as a country performer and won a Grammy and even had a couple of gold records. Still play piano like ringing a bell. But the problem was all the drinking, all the partying, all the Crown Royal and the cocaine never stopped. Constantly hooking up with women before and after the shows. He would beat hecklers over the head with his microphone stand. Arrested for drunk and disorderly so many times he couldn't even count. Always carried a pistol with him. One day he got so drunk and so mad, he shot his bass player in the chest with a .357. And all that lifestyle as a rock star cost him and his family big time. Jerry Lee Lewis was married seven times. His fourth wife drowned in a swimming pool in 1982 while he was suing her for divorce. His fifth wife, who was 23 years younger than him, died of a drug overdose in 1983. Less than a year later, he married a 21-year-old. And less than 2 years later after that, she divorced him for physical abuse and cheating on her. And she died in 2005. One of his sons died from drowning in 1962 at the age of three. His oldest son died in a car accident in 1973. I could go on and on and on. In spite of the God-given talent, Jerry Lee Lewis was an absolute mess. And the years and years of putting off God and drinking and partying and sleeping around and living totally for himself, people, if anybody, and I mean anybody, deserved to go to hell, it was Jerry Lee Lewis. But here's how incredible the love of God really is. Even though Jerry Lee Lewis abused his body like you would not believe, God in his love and mercy still allowed him to be in the music business for 70 years. And one night, February of 2019, at age 84, Jerry Lee Lewis was performing his last public concert, Columbia, South Carolina. After the show was over, an evangelist named Dylan Novak came up and handed him a gospel tract. And Jerry Lee Lewis read it, and he held on to that gospel tract, and he read it every single day for an entire year until February 20th, 2020. After all those years, Jerry Lee Lewis, the liar, the cheater, the bigamist, the sexual predator, the adulterer, the hellraiser, prayed to receive Christ and got saved and wrote this in his diary. Do not worry, Jesus is my personal Savior now, February 20th, 2020. So when Jerry Lee Lewis finally died last October the 28th, his seventh wife Judith said he really was ready to go home and be with Jesus. And here's how even more incredible God's love really is. 4 months before Jerry Lee Lewis died, his cousin, Jimmy Swigert, asked him to record a gospel album called Talk to Jesus. And even though Jerry Lee Lewis had already had a stroke and could barely sit in a chair and could only chord the piano with one hand, he got through it and he did it. And Jerry Lee Lewis redeemed all that lost time, all the wasted years and all the wasted talent, because the very last song he ever recorded in his entire 70-year musical career was that one.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, emblem of suffering and shame. And I loved that old cross where the dearest and death, what a world, a sinner was slain.
There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. Just like Jerry Lee Lewis, for years and years and years, you have blown off God and spit on everything that's holy. But you need to know, I don't care who you are, I don't care what you've done, I don't care how bad it was, I don't care how many people you hurt along the way, I don't care how many times you rejected God every single second until right now. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire, you can still get saved if you just repent and accept the love that God has for you in Jesus Christ. The first thing we need to do to get that love for Christmas, we need to realize it comes from God. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to get that love at Christmas time. We not only need to realize it comes from God, we also need to turn to Jesus Christ. And that's also what John is telling us here in verses 9 and 10. Verse 10, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. Which is an incredible thing. Because all through the Old Testament, God told His people no one can see His face and live. Because His power and glory would literally burn us to a crisp. 1 Timothy 1:17, He is a God who dwells in unapproachable light. And why? Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, because His face is like the sun shining in all of its brilliance, 15 million degrees at the core, and putting out 100 billion nuclear reactors worth of energy every second. A God whom no man has seen or can see. No one can see God's face and live. But the first Christmas, that power and that glory, God the Son, Jesus Christ, took on weak, measly human flesh and dwelt among us. The miracle of the Incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us in human form, so we could relate to Him. That's love. And notice, Jesus didn't come to this earth on a fact-finding mission. Jesus didn't come to this earth to set a good example or to make a difference or to make the world a better place. Jesus didn't come for Taylor Swift tickets or a peppermint frosty at Wendy's. 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ came into the world to save sinners. Jesus became body and blood so His body could be torn and His blood could be shed. Because verse 10, God sent Jesus into the world to be the atoning sacrifice for our sin. And here's what's even more incredible. When somebody grinds our gears and fries our bacon, we don't go to them. We sit back and wait for an apology. But see, instead of God waiting us for us to go to Him, He came to us by putting His Son Jesus Christ on a cross 2,000 years ago already. Because God is holy, He had to punish sin. But because God is also loving, He didn't want to punish us. So He punished His Son, Jesus Christ, instead, in our place. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us. So before we even knew who He was, before we even knew what He'd done, even though we hadn't even asked Him to do it, even though we were enemies of God because of our sin, even before we were born, even before we ever sinned, God already made a sacrifice to take that sin away. Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrates His love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. So that we wouldn't die and go to hell, we would live and go to heaven instead. That's love. My sophomore year in high school, I fell in love with that girl. Her name was Kathy. But the problem was she always looked at me like I had a third eye. No response whatsoever. So eventually you get tired of beating your head against a brick wall and you quit and you give up and you move on. But see, God never quit on us. He never moved on from us. Nothing hurts more than loving somebody who doesn't love you back. So let me ask you this morning. God did all of that for us, gave His only Son for us. How do you think God feels when we don't love Him? There's unbelievers sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. The meaning of Christmas is not found under a tree. It's found on the cross. And you need to find it by turning to Jesus Christ. Would you do that today? All the love we'll ever need, we will find in Him. Right now, a company in Bulgaria is catering to lonely single women. And for $165, they will send you a 5'7" tall, life-size teddy bear shaped like a man. For those times in your life when you just need to have the physical presence of a guy around. And I know some wives are thinking, well, Kevin, my husband is already a bear and he's already stuffed. And that one doesn't growl or snore or hog the TV remote. I think I'd like to have one of those instead of the thing that I got now. No. You need the love of Jesus Christ. Actress Olivia Wilde just broke up with Harry Styles. So now she's going to go out and she's just going to hook up with somebody else. And then find somebody else to hook up with. And then find somebody else after that to hook up with. On and on and on. Constantly looking for something in a guy that she can only find in Christ. There's single people sitting in this church right now. Listen to this word. You want to find somebody special, a guy or a girl. I want to tell you, your number one consideration, what you're looking for, you're not looking for a person to see how much they love you. Your number one consideration is how much they love the Lord. Amen. You find that person that loves Jesus Christ even more than they love you. That's the one. Jesus Christ loves you. He loves you. He will never lie to you. He will never stab you in the back. Jesus will never unfriend you. He'll never troll you on Instagram. Jesus will never dump you. He will never break up with you for somebody that He likes better. Jesus loves you. Even if you get sick or fat or fired, even if you get divorced, Jesus loves you. Even if you flunk driver's ed, even if you can't get algebra, even when you get your braces put on, He still loves you. Even when your parents split up, even when your ex turns all your kids against you, He still loves you. Even when your husband doesn't want to have sex with you anymore, He still loves you. Even if you're addicted to porn, even if you've had an abortion, even if you can't stop getting high, even if you have same-sex attraction, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 1, He loves you with an everlasting love that will never quit. And what difference does that make? Last year, 15-year-old Nate Bronstein was being tormented by all the other kids at the Latin school in Chicago because they claimed he wasn't vaccinated. Gee, I thought it was only us so-called vaccine deniers that were mean to people. And the kid was vaccinated. But they still didn't stop. And because of the bullying, the parents contacted the school over 30 times. They even had face-to-face meetings with the kids who were doing the bullying and the kids' parents. It still didn't stop. They put that kid through absolute hell. Last December, they even trolled him on Snapchat and told him he ought to go off himself. So last January the 13th, Nate Bronstein committed suicide by hanging himself in his bathroom shower. I got picked on when I was in school. Other kids called me fat and ugly, told me I looked like a girl. But you know what? I never went and got a gun. I never went postal. I never killed myself. And you know why? You know the only reason why? The only reason why I am still here right now? Because even though I wasn't saved back then, I knew with all my heart that that Bible was true. And that there was a God who loved me no matter what, even if nobody else did. Young people sitting here, young people listening to this message, you're thinking about killing yourself because you don't think anybody loves you. You need to turn to Jesus Christ. And I know you're thinking, Kevin, you just don't get it. No, you don't get it. You don't get who He really is. You don't get how much He really loves you. And you don't get how Him loving you can get you through absolutely anything if you just turn to it and cling to it. or have with all the light fights and the sugar cookie lattes? We've forgotten about why Jesus really came to the earth at Christmas time. 2,000 years ago, on the first Good Friday, after 3.5 years of preaching and teaching and doing miracles and casting out demons, Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, was handed over to be crucified. And the Roman soldiers took charge of Jesus. And they mocked Him. And they spit on Him. And they punched Him. And they beat on Him. They beat Him like a dog for no reason whatsoever. And they pressed a crown of thorns on top of His head, and His blood ran all down His face. And then they whipped Him with a whip that had bits of bone and metal sewn onto the lashes, so that whip tore out chunks of His flesh when it bit on His body. And the skin on His back hung down like ribbons. And His blood flew all over the place. And He did that for you. And then when He was almost dead, could hardly stand up, they forced Him to carry a big heavy wooden cross outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem to a hill called Calvary. Got up on top of that hill, they threw that cross down on the ground. The soldiers threw Jesus down on His back on top of that cross, stretched out Jesus' arms, and then pounded 9-inch spikes through both of Jesus' wrists, purposely severing the nerve that runs all the way from your hand to your shoulder, making Jesus' arms totally worthless and useless. Then they took Jesus' feet, overlapped one on top of the other, and pounded a single 9-inch spike through both of Jesus' feet into the wood of that cross. They hoisted Him up and crucified Him. And once Jesus was up there, He realized immediately He could not push up or pull up with His arms. So the only way that He could breathe and inhale and exhale was by putting all of His weight through that one single spike running through both of His feet. Crucifixion was absolutely the most horrific form of execution known to mankind, specifically designed to maximize pain while prolonging death for as long as possible. It was so horrible. Our English word excruciating comes from the word crucifixion. And there He struggled. Over. And over. And over. For 3 hours. Till His heart and His lungs finally filled up with fluid. And Jesus died of asphyxiation. And the Bible says when Jesus died on that cross, all the sin that you and I ever committed was placed on Jesus. All the punishment that we deserve from God for our sin was placed on His shoulders. He bore that punishment for us. He died the death that you and I should have died. He took our place. And the only reason He did that is because He loved us and didn't want us to be lost. The Bible said Jesus died on that cross. He was buried in the tomb. 3 days later, He rose from the dead. He's alive right now. And the Bible says all we have to do is confess our sins to God, put our faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross is the only thing that can take our sins away, and ask Jesus Christ to come into our heart and be our Savior. The Bible says we do that, our sins will be forgiven. We can start having a relationship with the God who created us. We can start becoming the people that God originally intended us to be, and we can know that we know that we know that when we die, we're going to go to heaven and be with Him. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Because don't let him kid you. It's not just about the old rugged manger. It's about the old rugged cross. Because Jesus wasn't just born. Jesus was born to die for you so that you could be saved. If you just turn to Him. The second thing we need to do in order to get that love at Christmas time, we need to turn to Jesus Christ. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to get that love we want and need at Christmas. We not only need to realize it comes from God, we not only need to turn to Jesus Christ, but we've got to show it to other people. And that's exactly what John is telling us here in verses 11 and 12. Show it to other people, because if it's real, it will show. You give your life to Jesus Christ, He starts changing you. And God starts pouring His love into your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 5, verse 5, and gives you a supernatural love for other people. So Christians, let me ask you, are we actually showing that love to other people, or are we just blowing smoke and liking it when we see examples of it on Facebook? John and Cindy Berg from Springfield, Missouri, put a dummy on their house this year for Christmas. So it looks like a man falling off a roof trying to put up Christmas lights. And then they posted this on Facebook. Straw dummy, $10. Ladder, free from the garage. String of lights, $5. Freaking out the neighbors, priceless. This is love? Scaring the bejesus out of people? And causing them to make bogus phone calls to 911? I don't think so. Where's Christians showing the love of Jesus Christ at Christmas time? Verse 12, nobody has ever seen God, but when we show the love of God to other people, then people do see God in us. And Christians, what an incredible witness that is when that happens. 63-year-old Stephen Brake, Walmart, Minnesota, farms 5,000 acres with his wife and two sons. But September of 2021, he got a COVID vaccine and got so paralysis and nerve damage and blurred vision and joint pain, he couldn't hardly function, couldn't hardly get around, even with the walker. And that farming operation needed all hands on deck. But when a 16-year-old neighbor girl named Abby Reitz heard what happened to him, like that, she was on the front porch of the Brake's house asking him, how can I help? What can I do? And even though that girl didn't know diddly squat about farming, every single day after school from 2 p.m. on till sometimes midnight, Abby Reitz was there doing anything that needed to be done. Making sure that everything was fueled up. Helping Stephen Brake get in and out of the tractors and the combines. Riding with his two sons and jumping out and picking up the rocks so they wouldn't have to take the time to do it. And she spent so much time in the cab with him and the two sons, she eventually learned how to drive and operate every single piece of equipment on that place. So last October, Abby Reitz was running the combine all by herself. Best hired man Stephen Brake ever had was a 16-year-old girl. And in 2 years of farming, she never took one single penny for any of the work that she did. This is what Abby Reitz said. I'm a follower of Jesus, which means I'm supposed to love like He did. And when I saw my neighbor with a need, I knew I just had to help him out, whatever way I could, because Jesus helped me when I was helpless. And if Jesus reached out to me free of charge, how can I ever charge the ones Jesus called me to love? We love because He first loved us. People, that is loving people with the love of Jesus Christ. And God help us, the damage that we do, Christians, when we don't. Black Lives Matter for the last 2.5 years has been preaching that America is systemically racist from its very founding. And 2 out of 3 African Americans now in this country believe that lie. And it's ripping this country apart. And what makes it even worse is all kinds of white leftists in the church today who think they're doing the Lord's work by constantly stirring the pot and screaming racism at every turn. Last November 4th and 5th, I spoke at a Clay Clark Reawakened Tour in Branson, Missouri. And I know some people are thinking, well, Kevin, I don't agree with everything that's said at those Reawakened Tours. I don't agree with everything that's said at the Reawakened Tours either. But I went there because it was an opportunity for me to say what God wanted me to say. And, of course, the Christian left was there protesting what they called our Christian nationalism. And a pastor named Brian Kaler watched all 72 speakers who spoke at that 2-day event. And blasted and trashed every single one of them on Twitter, including me. Now, I spoke that day about the fact that America was founded as a Christian nation and how the Bible traces the spread of the gospel through the descendants of Noah's son, Japheth, the white European people who started this country, and how God raised up the United States of America to spread the gospel all over the world, even to the descendants of Noah's son, Shem, the Asian people, and Noah's son, Ham, the black African people. And then I talked about how the church today needs to repent because in order to make America great again, America's got to be born again. And folks, you got to realize, this isn't my idea of the descendants of Noah and who those people were. Secular anthropologists tell us that the descendants of Japheth were the white Europeans, the descendants of Shem were the Asian people, the descendants of Ham were the black African people. But here's what Pastor Brian Kaler said about me. Pastor Kevin Garner presents a false history of Christian nationalism, claiming America was founded as a Christian nation, says Biden is not the real president, and uses racist curse of Ham theory to claim that white Americans are God's chosen people. Well, first of all, I said America is founded as a Christian nation because the founding fathers of our country said they founded it as a Christian nation. And I never once said that Christian white Americans are God's chosen people because the Jewish people are God's chosen people. That's why we fly a flag of Israel in our parking lot. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And everybody knows, even on the left, Joe Biden is not the real president. And this absolute nonsense about the curse of Ham and the mark of Cain is just a bunch of racist heresy that was preached in the South before the Civil War trying to justify slavery. The idea was it was okay to enslave black people because they were all descendants of Cain and Ham who sinned against God, and then God punished them and cursed them by turning them black. And it's absolutely ridiculous. 2016, I preached a whole series on Genesis chapters 1 through 11. And I preached a whole sermon on Cain, and I explained that the mark of Cain has absolutely nothing to do with the person's skin color. People, it's crazy. Ham's descendants were black people because after the Tower of Babel, God sent that group of people to Africa. And everybody has a chemical in your skin called melanin. When it's exposed to the light and the sunlight, it turns dark. Prolonged exposure to the sunlight means it turns permanently dark. Black people are not black because they're cursed by God. What in the world is Brian Kaler talking about? But see, he never talked to me. He never called me. He never asked me any questions. Just fire away. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Christians, we better be showing the love of Jesus Christ, because Jesus tells us, Matthew 24:12, in these last days, the love of many is growing cold. And we see that today, especially with the COVID vaccines, because day after day, the news just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Vaccines give people only a 0.7% better chance of not getting seriously sick with COVID than people who are not vaccinated. But any benefit is far outweighed by the risk and damage from the vaccine itself. For children and 18 to 34 year olds, the risk of dying from the vaccine is far higher than any benefit the vaccine could give them. The Kaiser Foundation reports that almost 60% of all COVID deaths now are fully vaccinated people, and that percentage grows by the day. So now it's a pandemic of the vaccinated. The risk of heart attack for the general population is 3 out of 10,000. The risk of heart attack from the vaccine is 3 out of 100. I could go on and on. And what's even worse, the vaccine is killing people. Dropping like flies all over the world. People, it is as plain as the mask on Joe Biden's face, the vaccines don't work. They don't keep you from getting it. They don't keep you from dying from it. They don't keep you from spreading it. And worst of all, they're killing people. And yet, what was Dr. Anthony Fauci's final word of advice to the American people at his farewell press conference? Make sure you get your vaccines and all your boosters. And the question is why? Why would you keep pushing a vaccine that is an absolute train wreck? Well, I hate to tell you this, but the first reason is extermination. Bill Gates said the world's population needs to be reduced to 500 million people in order to save the planet. Klaus Schwab wrote in his book, The Great Reset, world's population needs to be reduced to 500 million people in order to save the planet. United Nations Agenda 2030 says the world's population needs to be reduced to 500 million people in order to save the planet. The New World Order said on the Georgia Guidestones, the world's population needs to be reduced to 500 million people. See the pattern? And what is it in the world right now that's killing millions of people and reducing the population of the world? It's COVID and the COVID vaccine. Almost 7 million people so far, according to the World Health Organization. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation estimates 700 million people will die from it before it's all over with. And the vast majority here in the United States will die 5 years after they got jabbed, so around 2027 or 2028, which is more than convenient. Because the vast majority of those who will die from the vaccine in the United States are senior citizens, over 94%. And what's going to happen in 2027, 2028, according to the Congressional Budget Office? That's when Medicare and Social Security really does become insolvent. So what do you know? Right at the time when all these people are supposed to be paid this money, there won't be any people to pay the money to. Folks, you don't think this whole thing has been planned? Every step, every detail, it's demonic. And what's even worse, the other reason for the vaccine is not extermination, it's experimentation. For decades now, all kinds of agencies like the World Economic Forum and the World Organization for Economic Development have been pushing something called the Fourth Industrial Revolution, the Internet of Bodies, putting computers into your bodies, transhumanism, merging human beings with technology and artificial intelligence in order to turn people into cyborgs. Atheist philosopher Yuval Harari said this, "We are one of the last generations of Homo sapiens because in the coming years all people will finally realize that there is no God, no commandments, no religious injunctions that can keep us from biotechno-engineering bodies and minds to create the ideal species of human beings who are truly divine." And what he's talking about is using vaccinations to inject nanotechnology into people's bodies that will rewire your DNA and turn you into an entirely different kind of human being. People, we are talking about a demonic spiritual attack against the soul. And I know it sounds crazy, and I know people don't want to hear it, but folks, that's exactly what the COVID vaccines are trying to do. And how do we know that? For the last 2.5 years, that's all we've heard from the COVIDians. Oh, the vaccine doesn't affect your DNA. The vaccine has absolutely nothing to do with your DNA. Folks, it does in a process called reverse transcription, because that is exactly what those vaccines were designed to do. And how do we know that? Because 2021, Stefan Olerich, CEO of Bayer Pharmaceuticals, let the cat out of the bag by saying this, "Ultimately, mRNA vaccines are gene therapy." There you go. And how do we know that what he said was true? Because all over the world right now, doctors who are doing autopsies on dead people who were vaccinated for COVID, and morticians who are embalming bodies of people who are vaccinated for COVID, are finding this stuff in people's bloodstreams and in people's blood vessels and veins. Things that they have never seen before in their entire lives. Like stuff right out of Creature Features. People, what in the world is that stuff in people's blood? Well, PhD doctor in biotech Karen Kingston says this, "What they are finding in the blood of the COVID dead are metals that come from the vaccine. And they form metallic self-assembling carbon structures. And the structures support what look like ribbons that are called sea worms that also come from the vaccine and grow in the bloodstream. And it's genetically engineered hydrogel, and it's parasitic because it attacks every cell in your body, destroys the liposomes or outer shell of every cell, replaces it with a bioengineered cell, clips out the old DNA, and replaces it with nano DNA from the vaccine to literally start making you into a techno-engineered person. And the biggest use of hydrogel is to replace nerve cells in your brain. So this vaccine is using biotechnology to literally replace and rewire the neural structures in your brain to destroy your consciousness. And destroy your consciousness, you destroy your soul." My God, people. I keep running out of conspiracy theories because my conspiracy theories keep coming true. And I know there's people sitting right here in this church, you had the COVID vaccine. You're saying, "Kevin, is that automatically going to happen to me?" Of course not. But listen, the more vaccines you have, the more boosters you take, the worse your odds are. No more shots. Not one more booster. Because folks, we've got to realize, it's not just a virus, it's not just a vaccine, it is a bioweapon that they are using to try to create superhuman beings. And I know that sounds crazy, but listen to what Yuval Harari says. "When we finally marry biology to technology and human beings, we will finally create the Homo Deus, the God-man, and achieve immortality." Homo Deus, the God-man. See, the Bill Gateses and the Klaus Schwabs and the Yuval Hararis of the world, they think they're gods. And they want to be immortal. And they are trying to find the technology that can make them mortal. And because they consider themselves the elite and you're the peons, they are using you in an experiment. And injecting you with vaccines like lab rats to try to get that technology. And if millions of you have to die along the way in the process, so what? You're just useless eaters with unremarkable genes, like Yuval Harari says. And the federal government is promoting this. Or didn't you know that last September the 12th, President Biden signed another executive order clearing the way for even more research into transhumanism and turning people into human bots? Last week, what did Javier Becerra, HHS director, tell every American to do? Now you need to go get a COVID shot every 2 months. Every 2 months. Why? Because the more shots you take, the faster the experiment goes. People, this is evil. Elon Musk, who has that company Neuralink that's trying to put a microchip in your brain, said this, "We are serving demons by what we're doing." He admits it. It's like nanotechnology, Tower of Babel. Nothing will be impossible for them. And they are believing the old lie straight from the devil. Way back in the Garden of Eden, you shall become like gods. And they can't. People, we don't need man to become God because God already became man in Jesus Christ. And God did not intend you to be a slave or a lab rat. He intended us to be free. And God did not create us to become like cyborg transformers. He created us to become like Jesus Christ in holiness and righteousness and purity. And by simple faith in Him, we can. And we can have that immortality by living with Him in heaven forever. This whole transhumanism movement is doing nothing but setting up the entire world for the coming kingdom of the Antichrist. But here's the good news. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, Jesus Christ will come and destroy the Antichrist with the splendor of His glory and by the breath of His mouth. And do we have any idea how close that time really is? So many times in the Bible, verses that talk about the end times come in threes. Because God likes doing things in threes. It's like God giving us 3 years of preparation before the final end. Like you see in Revelation chapter 3, verses 20, 21, and 22. And the incredible thing is, each one of these verses corresponds to the same number year and tells us exactly what was going on in that year. The year 2020. The New World Order made their first move. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. God was knocking on the heart of America. One last chance to be saved for whosoever will. 2021, the forced lockdowns, the insane policies of the left, the forced vaccinations, the open borders, the ruined economy, the insanity when it comes to transgenderism. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, He who overcomes the trial will get even more power and authority to minister and to speak. 2022, the church in America desperately needs to repent because the church in America in 2022 is even more apostate and even more Laodicean. Revelation chapter 3, verse 22, let he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And you say, well, Kevin, where's Revelation chapter 3, verse 23? There is no Revelation chapter 3, verse 23. Revelation chapter 3, verse 23 is actually Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, which comes immediately afterwards. And what does Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 tell us? John hears the sound of a trumpet and gets raptured up to heaven. After Revelation chapter 3, verse 22, there is no more reference to the church until you get the great white throne judgment in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 13, verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. It doesn't say anything about the church. And why? Because the church has been raptured up to heaven. So Kevin, you're saying that because there's no Revelation chapter 3, verse 23, that means there's going to be no year 2023. I'm not saying that. Kevin, you're saying the rapture is going to happen in 2023. I would never say that because we do not know when the rapture is going to happen. We can't know. No man knows the day or the hour. But Jesus did give us signs to look for to know that it's close. Remember that old saying from the 1920s? 23 skidoo? You know what that phrase literally means? It means to be forcibly taken out of some place by somebody else. That's what the rapture is to us Christians. 23 skidoo. So Kevin, you're saying in the year 2023, we're going to be 23 skidooed out of here by the rapture. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. But people, listen to me. It is the love of God shown to us in Jesus Christ and His death and resurrection that guarantees He will not leave us down here to go through hell on earth in the last days. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior in times like these, the service is over, you better not walk. You better run to the front of this church and give your heart to Jesus Christ and get saved. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You so much for Your Word. I just thank You, Lord, for this time of year. And I pray, Lord, that we would never forget how much You love us. And Lord, that love did not stop when You rose from the dead. It continues to this day. And You're going to complete that love someday by coming and taking us home. I pray, Lord, that we would be about that like You were about it. We would see the people around us who desperately need You, who desperately need a word, a hand up, And Lord, we would be the ones that provide that, overcome all the fears, all the worries of what it's going to cost us or do to us. Pray, Lord, that you would just give us those opportunities this Christmas. Help us to see them and use them. I ask it all in your name. Amen.